From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the life of Abraham as he brings the concluding portion of a message entitled, Pictures of Grace in Operation. The 20th chapter of Genesis records the account of Abraham lying about Sarah being his wife and nearly bringing disaster into the kingdom of Abimelech. In the first picture, we see grace maintaining God's purpose in spite of every attack upon it. In the second picture, we see God's grace dealing with darkened sinners, appearing to Abimelech in a dream. God warned this heathen king against touching Sarah, and reminding him that it was God's gracious hand that had kept Abimelech back from sinning. The final picture shows God's grace subduing the inward corruption of his saints. Although Abraham had a serious lapse of faith, it did not affect his standing of righteousness before God. When he confessed his sin, God forgave him and restored him to usefulness. When a Christian falls, the world sees him one way, but God looks at him through the blood of Christ and deals with him in grace. Dr. Cairns will conclude the message shortly. First, here's a devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Unstaggering Trustfulness. The text is found in Psalm 112 and verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Suspense is dreadful. When we have no news from home, we are apt to grow anxious, and we cannot be persuaded that no news is good news. Faith is the cure for this condition of sadness. The Lord, by His Spirit, settles the mind in holy serenity, and all fear is gone as to the future as well as the present. The fixedness of heart spoken of by the psalmist is to be diligently sought after. It is not believing this or that promise of the Lord, but the general condition of unstaggering trustfulness in our God, the confidence which we have in Him that He will neither do us ill Himself nor suffer anyone else to harm us. This constant confidence meets the unknown as well as the known of life. Let the morrow be what it may, our God is the God of tomorrow. Whatever events may have happened which to us are unknown, our Jehovah is God of the unknown as well as of the known. We are determined to trust the Lord, come what may. If the very worst should happen, our God is still the greatest and best. Therefore will we not fear, though the postman's knock should startle us, or a telegram wake us at midnight. The Lord liveth, and what can His children fear? listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the latest issue of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is available. The principal focus of this issue is the prophet Daniel. There are 5 articles written by various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church dealing with such subjects as glorifying God in an ungodly world, Daniel, a man of prayer, and the prophet's visions. Also, this issue commences a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church. In this issue, you'll read about the life and ministry of Dr. Ian Paisley. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to the feature on the website known as Q&A with Dr. Alan Cairns. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues. He deals with such things as what should be our response to the current economic crisis, or what is the best way to study the Bible. The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
And as I look at this chapter, it is a chapter that gives me three beautiful pictures of grace in operation. First of all, there is grace maintaining God's gospel purpose and promise against every attack upon it. There's a second beautiful picture in this chapter, and it's the grace of God dealing with darkened sinners. There's one final lovely picture which time allows me only to mention, and that is the picture of grace subduing the inward corruptions of the saints. What we see in Abraham in this chapter really is the old working of the flesh: unbelief, fear, lying, and the betrayal of his own wife. Yet, you know, the thing is, the Lord didn't give Abraham up because of these things. Oh, he failed the Lord, but God didn't fail him. And the Lord didn't set him aside even to replace him by another. Rather, he forced Abraham to face his corruption, and he subdued it. And there's good reason to believe that Abraham never made this mistake again. That was great grace. But grace went even further than that. There is a beautiful thing here. I wish I had left myself half an hour to expatiate upon it. But there is a beautiful thing here. Notice carefully in verse 7, the Lord said of Abraham, this is why Sarah is still in Abimelech's court. God says of Abraham, he is a prophet. He will pray for you. Could you just hear an ungodly man saying, a fat lot of good his prayers would do me. See what he has done. See how he has failed. But God says, he is a prophet. He will pray for you. You see, Abraham's sin, without making any excuse for it, did not change his standing with God. Abraham had no license to sin, just as a Christian has no license to sin. But his salvation and our salvation cannot depend on human performance. Abraham was not God's child as long as he acted up to a certain standard. He was God's child by free grace, and he acted up to a certain standard because of that free grace. And while there were times, such as on this occasion, when he fell from his lofty walk with God, yet his sin did not change his standing. Why? Because when God saves you, it's God who saves you, and he saves you forever. And as Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, without God changing his mind. It's one thing we can be sure of. The Lord will never go back on choosing us, calling us, converting us, saving us. God will never go back in that. Can you see also the difference between how man perceived Abraham and how God perceived him? This is the difference between how man looks at the saints and how God looks at them. Had you been able to go into Abimelech before, just before he got through with going to Abraham, just after the Lord had spoken to him, if you'd said, Abimelech, what do you think of this fellow Abraham? The rest of the chapter tells you what he'd have told you. He's a deceiver. He's a coward. And however great a man of faith he might have been, he has fallen to foul unbelief. You couldn't have argued with that. But if you ask the Lord, who is Abraham? He is my prophet. And don't you dare put your hand upon him. You see, there's a wonderful thing in Scripture. It's brought out in so many ways. God sees his people. He doesn't give them a license to sin. He does deal as a father with his children. He does correct them for their sins, for their betterment and their sanctification. But God sees his people in Christ. And he never thinks of them, and he never deals with them apart from Christ. Let me give you a picture. They say a picture is worth 1,000 words. So let me give you a picture in less than 1,000 words, I hope, that I hope you will never forget. I keep telling you that sooner or later I intend to do a series of studies on the tabernacle in the wilderness. It's the first series of messages I ever preached. It was a 20-year-old preacher starting off. I am now aghast at my audacity of taking on that task. But believe it or not, God blessed it, and it was the means of building up a small church into quite a strong little church as the result. But that's another story. Try to get in your mind a gateway. There are pillars. And then from that come out in a rectangle. And all around that rectangle, take pillars right around. And then the inside of those pillars, hung right around that, there is white linen. And inside that rectangle, you find the altar of sacrifice, the brazen altar, going from east toward the west, the brazen altar, the brazen laver, and then the actual tabernacle in the wilderness, the holy place and the holiest of all. The holiest of all was where the glory of God dwelt, God looking out, as it were, in the camp of Israel. Now all these details have significance. The pillars, take my word for it at the moment, the pillars are some of the most beautiful pictures in Scripture of the saints of God and the standing they enjoy before God. The pillars in the actual tabernacle were rooted in silver. Why? Because in Christ we are rooted in redemption. Silver, starting in the book of Exodus, going right through to 1 Peter, is the coin of redemption. But in the outer court, they are rooted in brass. Throughout Scripture, brass is the emblem of judgment. Now listen, the world looks at that tabernacle from the outside. What do they see? They see pillars. There they are, pillars, right up there. God looks at it from the inside. What does he see? White linen. The world looks at the church from one direction. God looks at it through Christ. Never forget the difference between how God in grace views a Christian and how the world views a Christian. You remember what Balaam, the old apostate prophet, said when he was asked to curse Israel and he couldn't do it? He said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. He said, behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I think that's one of the greatest statements in the Bible. Christian, rejoice in this. This is the grace of God. God has given commandment to bless his people, and not Satan, not all the spirits of hell, not all the apostates in creation, not all the false prophets can ever undo the blessing. He hath commanded to bless, and I cannot reverse it. Here's what he then says. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, Neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. Down in verse 23, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what God hath wrought. My, that's grace. It's how God looks at his people. Are they without sin? No, they're not. And God is not ignorant of their follies and their failures. But he says, you try to curse them. You try to bring them back under condemnation. And I am here to tell you, I see no iniquity in my people. Why? Because that iniquity is under the blood. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, we're all burdened by great sin. Some of you here tonight, sadly, are still ungodly. Perhaps the Lord has spoken to you as he spoke to Abimelech. Hear, and your soul shall live. Obey the word of the gospel with the obedience of faith. But there are some who are saved, like Abraham. Maybe even tonight you've come with this burden in your heart. You're laboring under corruptions. You feel God. Maybe you've been afraid, haven't denied your wife. But maybe much worse, you've denied your Savior. Afraid to take your stand for God. You become a coward in the things of God. Perhaps it's some other corruption. Maybe you've become enamored of the world. We all stand in danger of this. We sometimes think this is a sin for young people. Well, it is a sin that young people can fall into. But I have known many older people to cool off as they go on in years, and they just become more and more entrapped in the world, into the workaday world. You get up in the morning, you go to work, you come back, you sit down for the night in front of the television. If you read a little verse of a psalm, then you drop off to sleep, go to bed, get up the next morning, go to work, come back, sit down in front of the television for another whole night, and maybe again say a little prayer, go back to bed, get up in the morning. And so it goes on and on and on and on, and you lose out with God. Perhaps that's where you are tonight. Shoulder to shoulder with Abraham. However great your past. Corruption. Corruption has laid hold of you. Let me tell you, the gifts and calling of God are without his ever repenting of them. The psalmist David said, he restoreth my soul. And he still does that gracious work. Perhaps tonight the Lord has spoken to you, Christian. He's making you face up to your own sins, making you face up to your follies and your failures. And he's telling you, I still see you in Christ. I still love you with an everlasting love. You're still my child. And furthermore, I can restore you to usefulness just as I restored Abraham to usefulness. Abraham, as soon as he was confronted by his sin, was able to pray with blessing. My, this old world needs Christians who can pray and get God's ear and get God's blessing. God can restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. God can restore to you as a Christian the lost time, the lost opportunity. And he can take you up, greatly bless you. There is restoring grace. There's saving grace for sinners. Restoring grace for saints. As we sang tonight, take it home with you. There is grace that is greater than all our sins. Thank you.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.